Good morning. Welcome to church this Sunday morning, August 31st. Kind of the unofficial last Sunday of summer, but yeah, we know we have a few more weeks left, so we're okay. The announcements this morning are in the back of the bulletin, and the calendar says minister's office hours, and then Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. is the general board meeting, and all the anyone that belongs to church is quite welcome, and it's for the elders and the diaconate and everything, and it's a very informational, and the more there, the better it is. If you can make it, try to make it. I will be the co-chairman, so I'm going to fill in for Roxanne this Wednesday. So, but that's just a reminder, and the last board meeting minutes are in the bulletin. Also, we don't want to forget the virtual friendship cards are in back of the pews. And if you have any prayer requests, or just let us know if you're visiting, please let us know that you visit us, and fill those out as need be. Let's see. No work day on Tuesday, September 2nd. And in the bulletin, we have an insert for the coffee house starting September 12th, and all the dates, tentative dates are in there for the coffee house, and also Reverend Stewart asked me if you would take the insert, the little flyer, and if you could hang it up in anywhere, like if it's a place of business you go in and frequent, please hang post this, and that way the word will get around and get people's memory back on when we're going to have start our coffee house. So that's a good thing. Are there any announcements that anybody has in the congregation? Okay. Reverend Stillwell has an announcement and some information.
Good morning. As we gather together today to worship God, we want to give thanks for what God is doing. Also want to mourn together and to ask for consolation because one of our church members this past week has passed away. And unfortunately, it was someone that we didn't get to know very well, someone who only recently became a church member, Frank Kelly. He was baptized here back in June. Shortly after getting baptized, he was diagnosed with cancer and had a difficult time of it, and this past week went to be with God. So we do rejoice. We do rejoice. We do not mourn as others who have no hope. We rejoice knowing that he is beyond pain, somewhere where cancer can no longer touch him, with his Maker. And we want to gather together to commemorate him, to remember him, and to celebrate his life. We will do so on this coming Friday, at 11:30. We'll have the memorial service for Frank Kelly here at the church. Frank was a veteran. Frank is being buried at National Cemetery, but we want to honor his life here together. Myself and Don Lockerty, his good friend, will be organizing the funeral, the memorial. The women of the church are putting together the luncheon, and we do give thanks to them for that. There will not be viewing times or funeral home times, so the only opportunity we will have to commemorate his life will be this coming Friday. Certainly, if you can help in any way, please let Jackie know or Don know. And Don, do you have anything you want to add? Okay. So let us always, though, be in prayer for Frank and also for Don and Frank's family as he has passed away. Thank you.
Christian Church of Connellsville flings wide open its doors like welcoming arms and invites all to come in. This is your Father's house. Enter gladly and pray and praise. Let's take a moment of silence before we begin the service. Thank you. The opening hymn this morning in the Chalice Hymnal, number 227, In the Garden.
Thank you.
As we come before God in worship, may our minds be enriched by the truth of God. May our imaginations be enriched by the beauty of God. And may our souls be enriched by the love of God. For our God is a giver supreme. Let us bow now for the opening prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. As we gather in worship, we want to experience a sense of your presence. We want our spirits to be receptive to your spirit. We want our songs and prayers to be genuine and sincere. We want to be prepared not only to hear your word, but also go out and live that word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. It is our tradition at this point in our church service to give our tithes and offerings, and it is a good tradition, but let us never allow it to become only a tradition. The offertory hymn and the chalice hymnal number 61, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you. present these gifts not just because we have always done so or because it's expected, but because we really care about the proclamation of your gospel around the world. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. First scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 61. That's verses 1 through 4 and then 8 through 11 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bible, page 691. If you would like, please read along. Here begins the reading. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair in the ruined cities the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. The word of the Lord. Blessed be to God. The anthem this morning, I Love to Tell the Story, by the Summer Choir. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this last Sunday of August. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit messed up on my dates because we had the church picnic last week, so I feel like we're already in the middle of September. At least that's how it should be. But I want to give thanks for the great picnic we had last week and all those who made it possible. We had a wonderful time and really enjoyed it and had a great fellowship with one another. We want to give thanks for all the other things that are happening in our church. We want to celebrate that next week we will see our good friend Juana Reynolds with us again as she returns from her summer sabbatical to play the organ. But we also want to take this time now to share our gratitude with Bruce for playing the organ and the piano. Let's share our gratitude with him. I'm especially grateful that in the past, when we had people filling in for Wanda, it was nice to know that we were going to see Wanda again, but it was sad that we'd have to say goodbye to Levi Graft or Betty Ray Miller. But it's wonderful to know that when Wanda's here, Bruce will be up there singing. So we are very blessed to have you both, and we do give you thanks for sharing your talents with us at all times. We also want to celebrate the wedding that took place this week. You'll see the flowers here and all around are left over from the wedding for Russ and Mackenzie Miller. Don't usually have a wedding on a Tuesday, but that was August 26th, the day that they started dating. It was a nice time. We want to celebrate with them, and also for all those who helped put together their reception and give thanks to you, and wish them luck as they begin their life together. We celebrate with God all the things that are happening in our church and all the joys that we have with one another. We also commiserate with one another and before God for the things that we lose and the people that we lose. So we do lift up our loss and our pain to God on the loss of Frank Kelly. Pray for his soul and for the surviving friends and family as we gather this week to celebrate his life. I also received word on the very same day that my wife's aunt passed away. Her aunt Anne, who hadn't been doing very well, but was still a bit of a surprise that she took such a sharp turn. And her funeral will be on Tuesday. Please pray for the Matruski family, the family of Ann Matruski. I've also been asked to pray for a few people this morning. I received a call from Sue Hensel asking a prayer for her ex-husband, Kevin. He's having a surgery to replace a vein, or perhaps an artery, in his body to bring more circulation to his legs. And he's having it this week. Let us please pray for Kevin Hensel. We also want to pray for Roxanne Yunkin, also having a surgery this week, this Wednesday. Pray for her that all goes well for her. We want to pray also, we should pray for Teresa and her entire family in general. We have been praying for Bernadette, and at times we've been praying for John. I also was asked this morning to pray for her sister Mary Lou, and she has a blood clot in her lungs and is in the hospital, so she needs our prayers. And also for her daughter, and I don't remember if you said Sarah or Anna. Anna burned her eye with a curling iron. So that's a new one. I've never been asked to pray for that before. So let us pray for Anna and Mary Lou and basically everybody in Teresa's family. And so now I ask you, what joys and concerns do you have? What thanksgivings do you have? And what? And who do we need to add to our prayer list this morning? Linda? Thank you for sharing that with us. We do give thanks for a Bible study led by Jane. Meets about every other Monday. It's a great group, and it's great that you also met with the members of the other church. We do give thanks for that blessing. What else? Judy?
They agreed to call me, tell me he was doing well, and also to ask us to remember his father, who will be celebrating his 92nd birthday on Monday.
That's great. Great news. We rejoice with Paul Reed on his 92nd birthday, and we do continue to pray for David and hope that he continues to be well. Thank you for sharing that. Are there any others? Roxanne? Pray
pray for our uncle, for Jack Heisterman and your aunt, and pray for Arlene. It was Miller. What is it? Addis. Arlene Addis. Yes. Thank you for sharing that today. Sonny? Pray for her emotional well-being and her spiritual well-being. Thank you for lifting her up. And Linda? Pray for Jack, for his father, for his whole family. Thank you for sharing that today. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Glorious God, we have come to this house of worship without boasting, without comparing ourselves to others, without feeling that we have arrived. Because we know that often we have disappointed you, fallen short of what we could be and what you would have us be. And we ask your forgiveness for our failures, for our shortcomings, and ask that you restore us fully by your mercy and your grace. We rejoice knowing that you are a forgiving God. We know that you are a loving God. And we know that you have set standards for us out of love. And that you always encourage us, that you always lift us up, that you're always there to help us. Again, we simply need to ask, and we do. We ask for ourselves and all the ways that we need your help. We lift them to you, knowing that you know already, but we need to speak it. We need to confess it to ourselves. And we ask for others as well. For they need you too. But we cannot ask for others on behalf of their faults or their sins. We can only ask for their well-being. And we lift them into your care and we pray that they will be well. And we pray that they also will turn to you in their own way, in their own needs, in their own confessions, to receive the grace that you offer, to receive the Spirit that you give them, to receive the love and the mercy that you extend to all. Lord, we pray for Kevin Hensel. We pray for Roxanne Yunkin. We pray for all those who are awaiting a surgery, in need of a medical solution to a physical problem. And not only do we pray for their well-being and their physical health, we pray for the doctors, but we also pray for their spiritual health and their mental well-being while they wait. For we know it is difficult sometimes to wait. We pray that in the meantime that they will be alleviated of worry, alleviated of concern, that they may place their entire being within your hands and know that they will be well. We ask that of them, and we ask that of people who are recovering from surgery, who are battling illnesses. We pray for Jack Heisterman. We pray that he will get better and stronger. We pray for Roxanne's aunt as she welcomes him in and knows that that is a difficult adjustment. We give you thanks for her grace, her generosity, and we pray for her. And we pray for the father of Jack Duggar. We pray that if it is all possible, he will receive healing. And if it is not, we pray that he will turn to you in the last days or weeks or however long he has. And rest in your presence, and that Jack will also receive the comfort that you offer. And we pray for those who have passed on. For Frank Kelly and for Anne Matruski, we pray that they are now beyond all pain and entering in the joy of their master. And we ask comfort and consolation for those who are left behind to celebrate their life and to know that they may see them again. Through your grace and your promise of eternal life. And now, Lord, we pray for those who are troubled in any other way. For Sonny's mother, who is missing his father, we pray that she may always feel connected to him and to know that she may see him again. But also to know that you have plans for her life. And she has life yet to live. And for Arlene, we pray that her worry and her problems may be alleviated, that she may be able to focus on the job that she is going to begin, and that may be a new and exciting chapter in her life. For David Reed, we continue to give you thanks as he continues to survive cancer. And we know that it was a difficult time for him, but we pray that you will continue to keep him strong. We give you thanks for his father's very long life as he celebrates his 92nd birthday. And then, Lord, we also pray for Teresa and her whole family. For all those who are struggling, we do pray for Mary Lou. We pray for Anna. We pray for each person in her life with all the difficulties they are facing. That they may know that you are with them and that you offer not only hope for the future, but strength and comfort and hope for the present. We pray these things, Lord, knowing that you are a God of great generosity, that you have given us so much. Our very lives, our very beings, our families and our friends, our church, so many blessings. And still you offer more. You offer a hoper. You offer a hope of a future filled with love and joy. An eternity of peace and well-being. Help us to live that future promise in the present. You strengthen us to not only believe in the kingdom in the future, but to make it possible now. Strengthen us, Lord, for challenges of justice and forgiveness and building of community, and challenge us when we veer off course. Guide our feet as you lead us on the journey into abundant life for all. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, as I said, we have a great deal to be thankful for in the Christian Church of Connellsville, and there's often many things happening that we want to celebrate, and today is a special day and moment because we want to celebrate our Sunday school. And so as the children come forward now, instead of the junior sermon, what we're going to have is we're inviting Judy Brow, the superintendent of our Sunday school, to come forward to celebrate the promotion of students in our Sunday school. Come on down.
For the younger ones. Good. Come on down, Alex. Have a seat right here, honey. Okay, it's that time of year again. School started. How is it? Mixed emotions. Well, you all moved on to new classes, sometimes just preschool classes, kindergarten, Lily, for you. And in Sunday school, we do the same thing too, just not every year. But there are some children moving on to new classes this year, and we would like to recognize them. First of all, from our beginners class, which is where the children start between 2 and 3 years old, when they're old enough to sit and have a little attention span. And they stay there until they have completed kindergarten and before they move on. Teachers down there are myself and Linda Witt, who has disappeared. And we alternate, and Roxanne Yunkin here, who is our helper down there. And we have two children that are being promoted from that class, and that would be Owen, one up please, and Tess.
Can you move them out, please?
Sure. Okay, when you leave this class, you get a certificate that says that you have been promoted to the God's Helper class. That is the upper or the lower elementary class, and that is a big deal because you're now becoming not little kids, but grown-up kids. So that's a special time. Oh, and here's your certificate, and there's yours, Tess. Okay? Can we give these two a hand of applause, please? They've been very regular attenders, too, I might add. Okay, you can sit down. They'll be moving on to the God's Helper class, which is taught, again, an alternating by myself and by Joyce Metzger, standing back in the corner. And this is our early elementary class, and we do have three children moving on from this class to the next one. And it's our custom in our church to provide a Bible, a child's own Bible with their name on it at this point when they come to this class. And we have three children that are moving on from this class. Hannah Stout, come on up, Hannah, and David Lehman. David, can you come up with me? And Alex Gonzalez. Very good. You can just stand right over there, honey. Okay, so these kids are moving on to the upper elementary class, and I have a Bible for each of you. And then I'm going to tell you one other thing. David, they got burgundy. You got a black one. Now, I have to be what we call an Indian giver today. Do you know what that is? That means I give you something and then I take it right back. The man who puts the names on the Bible has been taking care of his sick relative for a month. And he was not there to put your names on, but he is back at work. So I'm going to take your Bibles back and take them back to the store and get your names put on them and give them back to you next week. Okay? Okay. Sorry, but that was the best we could do. So could we give these three a hand of applause, please? And I'll just recollect your Bibles, and I'll give them back to you next week, I promise, with your names on them. Okay. Okay, you can sit down. Our other classes, just so you're aware of them, the next class up is the Middlers class taught by Jerry Brow, blue shirt, and that's the upper elementary. And from there they go to the junior senior high, Linda Ainsley. And then we have our main adult class called the Seekers class taught by Jane Sandusky. Jane is gone. And we have a new adult class restarting again called the Crossroads class. Reverend Chris will be teaching that one. It's a class for younger adults and also people that are new to the church that they might feel comfortable in it. But anybody is certainly welcome in any class. We encourage you to come. Sunday school is great simply because you learn more, but you also get to know the people of the church, make new friendships, and it's just a good relationship to have. And we encourage you to bring your children, your grandchildren, but if you're going to start a new child in Sunday school, if you just kindly let myself or the office know so that we can make sure we have adequate supplies for the children, it makes it nicer. So we're so fortunate to have a Sunday school. Many churches do not anymore, which is a very sad thing, and we'd like to keep it alive and well. So thank you, parents and grandparents, and you also.
Let's congratulate our kids again, and also our teachers, and especially our superintendent, Judy Brow. Thank you. Kids, you can guys go to your junior church class or to the nursery. And now our second scripture lesson today comes from the letter to Philippians, chapter 1. Verses 1 to 11, which can be found in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 196. Here begins the reading. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Amen. May the Lord bring blessing and understanding to the hearing of God's word this morning. There is so much in our life that we cannot control. And I know that we all know that too well. It frustrates us. Perhaps if we could have anything, if there was a genie who gave us a wish, we might wish for $1 million, we might wish for power, but maybe more than anything, we would simply wish for the ability to control our lives. When I was a kid, I loved to play Pac-Man. That was, you know, the first big video game that I loved. And if you've ever played that game, it's just this little guy going around and chomping up the dots, and you just have to get him through a maze. It's pretty simple, especially compared to how complex the video games are today. But it was difficult for me, about 5 years old, trying to get him to go exactly where I wanted him to go. And I remember I would get so frustrated, and at some point I would throw down the controller. And now that I'm older, I play Pac-Man, it is super easy. But I play it with my son, and I see the exact same thing with him. Not being able to get things to go exactly where he wants. The frustration builds up in him, and he wants to quit. He may hold the controller, but he cannot control what he holds. Not that I can control everything now, either. You know, one of the disappointing truths of life is that when we grow up, we cannot do everything or control everything we wanted to when we were young. It almost seemed when we were young that there was this promise that when we grew up and became adults, the best thing about it is that we would be in control. We would be in control of our lives. We would be in control of what to do and when to do it. We would be in control of when to go to bed. Every night I have to argue with my son about why he has to go to bed. And I'm sure right now he thinks that when he gets to be my age, he can stay up all night. And of course, I guess technically speaking, he can. But there are repercussions if we do. We can control more when we are older, but also we become aware of how much more we cannot control and how many things do not come with a controller to help us. First and foremost are our own children. But another example is that for many years I've tried my hand at a garden with mixed success at best. It seems so simple. I'm going to stick these seeds in the ground. I'm going to get these plants. I'm going to eat these vegetables. Step 1, 2, and 3, done. It's going to be great. But as we have discussed over these last 2 months on my sermon series of God in the Garden, it is not that simple. There are so many things in the garden that we cannot control. Forces that are beyond our control. What the weather is like, what the soil is like, whether or not pests come into the garden, whether or not animals are able to come and take it. And so for the last 6 or 7 years, tomatoes and peppers, my wife and I have been very good at growing, but not a whole lot else. This year, we got some kale, and we were wanting to eat that, but we were afraid of the rabbits and the groundhogs, so we put it in pots, and we put it up on our deck. And wouldn't you know it, at some point, something has crawled up on our deck and eaten it. I don't know how it got there, but, and this is the best part, we did put it one down in the garden on the ground, and that one's okay. So some animal has decided that they would rather climb up the side, perhaps a raccoon or something, climb up the side of our deck to get to that one bush here, ignore the one that they could have had easily. Can't control how they react or what things will happen. And not only that, but the thing that has grown best, more often than not, have been things that we do not expect. Over the course of these 5 or 6 years, the best thing we've been able to grow is pumpkins. And that's because at the end of every Halloween, or actually every Thanksgiving, we take our pumpkins, we smash them up, and we throw them in the garden, and we leave them. And then they grow back. And 2 years ago, we had the mother load when we got 23 small pumpkins that grew out of this garden, something that we didn't really do anything other than to plant. All the other plants we planted and took meticulous care of, these ones, we just threw them in there and let them go. Last year, we got none. And this year, it looked that it was going to be that way. We only had one. But I was still excited to get that one. And so the things that grew best often were the things that we had the least control of, or at least, or tried the least to control. Of course, we did plant the seed in a manner of speaking, and we watered them. But everything else, all the other plants, we purchased them, we planted them in a very specific area, we planted out where they were going to go. Sometimes, as I said, we tried to hide them from pests and other things that would take them. We staked the plants, we protected them, we sprayed things on them to keep things off of them. We even tore out one of the pumpkin plants because it was crowding out our zucchini plant. And we still got no zucchini and a couple pumpkins. Maybe our desire to control the growth of the seeds we plant is counterproductive, because truth be told, if it were all up to my ability to grow something, we probably would not even have that. The more we try to control, the more we realize how little control we truly have, and that is true for all things. How much more is it true for the seeds of the gospel? Jesus told many parables comparing the word of God to seeds sown in the word. And it is clear from these that we are to go about sowing the seeds of faith and letting God water them. And I take as my final example this passage from Paul, who in his letter to the Philippians is writing from jail. If he could control things, I guarantee you he did not want to be in jail nor expect to be. It was not his plan. And yet he continued to sow the seeds of faith as God had called him. Wherever he was, in whatever way he encountered, he continued to sow the seeds and let God grow them. He did this with enthusiasm as he spread those seeds, and throughout the Middle East, many churches grew, even in very unexpected places like Rome, the capital of the empire that crucified Jesus Christ, or in this case, prison, where Paul sits as he writes his letter to one of his churches that he had already planted and grown in Philippi, or rather he planted, but God grew. In Philippi. You see, Paul preached the word everywhere he went, and now he notices that some of those seeds have taken root in a very unlikely, unexpected way. He says, "I want you to know, beloved," speaking to the people in Philippi, "that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear." So you see, Paul spread the word. Paul preached the gospel. He did what he was supposed to do and ended up where he did not expect to be, in prison. And rather than either A, think that he was doing it wrong and question his faith, or B, get angry at God, he just kept planting the seeds. And so he thought, well, I'm here in prison, so I will preach the word in prison. And in doing so, he spread the word amongst a very unlikely group of people, the Roman guards, people for whom believing in Christ would be very dangerous. So his fellow prisoners, and even his guards, have heard the gospel, which perhaps may never have been possible if he had not ended up there because of the gospel. And according to Paul, many became followers because of it. But Paul cannot control what they do with that gospel. For he goes on to write that some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering and my imprisonment. What does it matter, he writes? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. And these are pretty amazing words, because Paul will also write at other times to beware of false preachers or false prophets, false teachers. There is an aspect of, you know, this is the gospel and the right belief. There is an aspect of orthodoxy and wanting to guard against false teachings. And yet at the same time, he understands that even if people's motives are not always true, the gospel is. And so as long as the seeds of the gospel are planted, he rejoices. It's not what he intended. You can imagine he did not expect to be in prison. You can imagine that he expected to go to the synagogues where he preached the gospel in every community, to preach that the Messiah that they had waited for had come, and he expected to receive the harvest of righteous souls who would rejoice at his good news. But God sent him places he would never otherwise have gone. Perhaps if he had known that he was going to end up there, he would not have started in the first place. But because he has kept his spirit strong and shown love to those who have imprisoned him, the seeds of faith were sown. And Paul has reaped an unintended harvest of converts. And Paul does not look a gift convert in the mouth. Because over the course of time, Paul is going to go to the Jewish communities, he's going to go to the synagogues, and he's going to tell people about the Messiah, and some people are going to believe, and those are going to be, for lack of a better word, the right people. But Paul's also going to continue to preach the word, to plant the seeds, and other people are going to believe. The Samaritans, some of them are going to believe. Gentiles, some of them are going to believe. Roman guards and prison guards are going to believe. And in many ways, these believers are going to cause controversy and they're going to cause scandal for the future of the church, but Paul does not care. Whoever believes in the word, whoever believes in the spirit that God that has sent Paul, it's a gift. And he refuses none. And he will go on to have arguments with people to explain that the Gentiles are just as welcome to the word of God as the Jews, and as are the Samaritans, and as are the Romans. Even if it was not as he intended, he accepts with joy and thanksgiving that it is as God intended. And even though people do not necessarily sow the seeds of gospel in the gospel in the best way, as he said, some do it out of ambition or do so out of false motives, what matters is that they sow the gospel, that people hear it, that it may be, as we discussed last week, become to people, as Jesus described it, the implanted word. Because he understands that it is God who is ultimately in control. All he can do, all any of us can do, is to plant the seeds, to share the word, and God will decide how it grows. Sowing the seeds of the gospel is the only thing he can control. It's the only thing we can control. Sowing the seeds in the garden, it's about all we can control. He tells the Philippians, "This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." Paul wants their love to overflow, because you never know who they will touch or how. And the same is true for us. If it were up to us, we would preach in nice places to nice people when we wanted to, when it suited our mood. But God places us in all manner of places and circumstances, and asks only that we sow the seeds of the gospel, wherever and to whomever. And we do this by speaking of Jesus Christ, sharing his love, and showing how his love has affected us. That is the one thing we can control. We cannot control who hears us. We cannot control how they react to us. We cannot control the situations we find ourselves in. We only control how we respond and how we share and how we love. And if we show love and if we show faith, we cannot protect who will be touched and how they will grow. Only that God and God alone will make them grow. If we were to imagine Paul's ministry like a garden, it might look like this. It might look that he had planted some tomatoes right here in this one spot that he thought was optimal, and they grew exactly the way he intended, and they looked good, and he was ready to have them. But on the other hand, he may have put some squash over here, and again, thought that was going to turn out great, and they did not turn out great, and it looks like they might not live. But then again, there was some zucchini that he planted on the other side, and it looked like they weren't going to live, but now they're doing pretty well, and they might come through. And over on the other side, there were some cabbage that he planted, or at least that's what he thought they were, but it turns out they were actually beets, and now they're springing up. And he doesn't really like beets that much, but God gave it to him, and he loves it. And then there were some beans that he planted over here, but in fact they have moved. Maybe the birds came and moved them, or maybe the wind blew some seeds. Now they're planting, they're growing, which is good. They're growing in the wrong spot. But again, that must be how God wants it. And I share this with you to say that the same is true for us.
through the course of this summer, as we talked about the garden, you have shared with me, and as the past week, I asked you to share with me a little bit about what is growing in your garden, what is your growing in your life. And I got some interesting responses. A lot of people are growing tomatoes. A lot of people are growing lettuce and beans. But I got one from Arnold, who told me that he grew beets and beans, and the deer ate them all the way down. But I love your response, Arnold. He said, but the deer, they need to eat too. Sometimes we do things, not for ourselves, but for others. It is very great to have that attitude. I hope that you continue to do so. I hope that I can get that attitude. But then again, he also said that he had enough for his own purposes. God gives us enough for ourselves. Sometimes we want more, but God gives us enough for ourselves. God gives us enough for others, too. We must share. I also heard that there is some sunflowers growing in a garden, and there is some sunshine growing in a person's life. You would not be surprised to learn that this person is named Sunny. It just happens to work that way. But my favorite were the Yotzis, who said that they had planted some beets, or they thought they were, and it came up as purple cabbage. Did you eat the purple cabbage?
Yeah.
See? God wanted you to have purple cabbage. That's the way to do it. You don't curse it. You just say, all right, I'm going to enjoy it. I've also heard that in some of your lives, there has been patience that is growing. In fact, I heard that from two people, so I do expect a more patient congregation. I'm going to try your patience in the days ahead. I also heard some cucumbers, some morning glories, forgiveness, tomatoes, greater faith through volunteering, through church activities, purple flowers, trust, more flowers, blessings, even more tomatoes, acceptance, carrots and onions, and again, patience. These are the things that you have told me are growing in your gardens and growing in your life, and we all acknowledge that you had a part to play, but mostly it has been God that has been growing this. We must remember that it is God who grows these things in our life and in our gardens, but we do sow the seeds. If you had sown no seeds of cabbage or tomatoes or carrots, you would almost certainly receive none of those things. So we must sow. We must sow. And we must know that we reap what we sow. If we want love, we must sow love. If we want kindness, we must sow kindness. If we want the kingdom of God, we must sow the very thing that makes the kingdom of God, and that is faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You never know what you will harvest when you sow the seeds of faith. You never know how it will grow or how it will come to fruition. And if you try to control them too much, they won't grow. If you sow the seeds of faith in the gospel, but then tell everyone, you got to do this, 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 and this, and let me tell you what you're doing wrong, those seeds will not grow in those people's hearts. All you can do is to share the love and the gospel with others and let God take control. If you cast out the seeds and trust that God will grow it, we will reap a harvest. It will not be the one that we always intend or expect, but it will always be wondrous. Let us mark the coming of fall, the ending of summer, by reaping a harvest in our gardens and sharing all the good, bounteous wonder that God has given us. And give thanks to God for such a generous growing season. But let us also sow the seeds of love and faith, knowing that God will make them grow in all seasons in ways that are pleasing to God. Let us always remember that you reap what you sow in all times and in all ways. So sow well and so long from the garden. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 638 in the Child's Hymnal. In the bulb, there is a flower. Let us sing verses 1 and 2. it is true that you reap what you sow. However, sometimes we are not aware of what we sow. I had a job one time that I did not like. It was a job. It was a summer job. It needed to be done. And apparently, I was not very happy when I did this job. Now, I knew that I wasn't, but the problem is that this job, it was working at a restaurant, so I had to deal with the public, and you had to put on a good face. And I thought I had done that. But at one point, I had been there 2 or 3 weeks, and I remember my boss just saying to me, "You know, Chris, it's okay to smile." I was kind of taken aback by that, because I thought I had hidden my dislike for the job better than I had. And I took those words to heart, and I smiled more. And when I did, I noticed that I enjoyed the job more, and I enjoyed working with people more. It was still the same job. It was still the same low pay. It was still everything else, but I enjoyed it more. Sometimes you give what you get, or you get what you give. And at the same time, you reap what you sow. But sometimes, as I say, we are not always aware of what it is that we are sowing. Sometimes it takes the words of others, or the eyes of others, for you to see yourself more clearly. Sometimes people can make us aware of what we were not aware of ourselves. And I think that is very important. The fact of the matter is that if you want kindness, show kindness. If you want love, show love. If you want forgiveness, be forgiving. But oftentimes, we are not these things. Sometimes we think we are, but we haven't been. And a good, kind, well-placed word, tactful word from someone else can make us aware of ways in which we can be better and can be living better. And I say this now because at this table, we have a chance for that word. At this table, we come together to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he was and means and is to us, but also to ask his help and to recommit ourselves to sharing the gospel. But above all, before we share in this meal, we are asked, commanded, to take a moment to close our eyes and to look down, to look at no one else and nowhere else but within our own hearts, and ask ourselves if we have been sowing the right seeds, the seeds of love, the seeds of mercy, the seeds of kindness and gentleness and compassion, the seeds, the very seeds that make up the gospel. But we also should, in addition to asking forgiveness for times in which we know we have sown the wrong seeds, the seeds of anger or resentment, we also should ask God to forgive us for what we call sins of which we are not aware. Because the fact of the matter is that each and every one of us, even if you cannot think of any single sin that you have committed this week, you have done something that maybe you're not aware of, but someone else is. And above all, God is. So let us take this time now to ask forgiveness for seeds that we know we should not have sown but have. And ask forgiveness for seeds that we did not know that we had sown but did. And then let us also know that in being forgiven, that Christ can make us more aware of what seeds we are sowing in this world, so that we will leave this table and this meal sowing only the seeds that will grow the type of world that we want to live in. Indeed, the very kingdom of God. Now this morning, let us pray.
Father God, we pray as your workers that you might help us become more useful each day in the fulfilling of your purposes, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us. We ask that you'll help us to remain focused on your voice, and not be distracted by the voices and pressures around us. Please give us the strength to do your work sincerely, faithfully, and honestly. We pray that all we do, Father, brings glory and honor to your name. For it is in your name we pray.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After having blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 719 in the Child's Hymnal, Come Sing a Song of Harvest, verses 1, 3, and 4. Let us stand as we sing. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Sow the seeds of love, and the God of love will make them grow. And the harvest of love that you reap will be equal to the seeds of love that you have scattered. Amen.